We can move on to item number 10, 2012-2014, Dear General in Special Permit Seasons, Rule Briefing and Public Hearing.
Okay. Once again, my name is Jerry Nelson. I'm the Deer and Elk Section Manager for the department. I'm going to give you a briefing on our proposed recommendations for Deer General Seasons and Deer Special Permits as part of the three-year package. We'll jump right into some of the status stuff. I'll get into more details as we progress through the slides, but we provided a lot of this information to you at the October briefing, but just want to kind of come back to it and also talk about how it's influencing any kind of hunting season changes that we're going to be proposing. This first table shows you the whitetail deer zones as we have them laid out in the whitetail deer management plan. The status column is telling you two possible things. Where we have a designation of stable or declining or increasing, those are populations where we have some aerial survey work or sometimes a lot of aerial survey work going on, and we have some either population estimates or population composition ratios that are estimated from the aerial surveys. On those others that are marked as harvest data, even though we do have some check station information, we do have some limited ground survey work going on. Some of our best data that's coming to us on those populations are looking at the harvest data, and so that's looking at consistency from year to year in total harvest, consistency from year to year in both antlered and antlerless harvest. So for whitetail deer in the Selkirk zone, for the most part, we're proposing status quo hunting season structure. However, we are going to be proposing some increases in opportunity in three deer areas that sort of circle the Spokane area and also the Colfax deer area. Originally, we had filed as part of the 102 filing, and then a lot of back and forth with various members of the public, GMAC, interested parties. Initially, we were thinking about doing some further reductions on the youth, senior, and disabled hunting seasons that take place in the general season. Those folks are some of the most effective antlerless deer harvesters in that part of the world. There was also some discussion about potentially eliminating the late archery season, which had an antlerless component to it as well. As we continue to work with the public and talk all of these different ideas around, we couldn't seem to find a reasonable option that anybody could live with. And so we are back to status quo. 4 days, Thursday through Sunday, on the Hunters with Disabilities Youth and Senior Hunt, and retaining the late archery hunt that includes an antlerless component. In the in the Palouse Zone, stable population, we have some very good population estimation work that's expanding in both the spreads kind of across both the Palouse and some of the Columbia Basin. We call it more Columbia Basin, but on this particular zone strata, it spills over into the Palouse as well. We're considering that somewhat stable, potentially an opportunity to increase some quality permits. We've also look to shift away from some master hunter opportunities in there and shifting that to some antlerless opportunity that's available to everyone. In the Blue Mountains, recommending status quo and looking at relatively stable populations. Again, Columbia Basin, part of that bigger population estimation effort by AIR, recommending status quo. North Cascades, really picking up our whitetail deer numbers in the North Cascades, doing the aerial surveys that we conduct for mule deer, but we do We do count and classify white-tailed deer when we're doing that. Status quo there. And then Okanagan Highlands, as the white-tailed deer plan designates Okanagan Highlands, that's really the north half, 204-101, that part of the world. And we're mostly relying on harvest data there and recommending status quo as well. For the mule deer populations, really not a lot of changes recommended here either. In Okanagan, Chelan, Blue Mountains, those same GMUs that I mentioned for Columbia Basin and Palouse, we have aerial surveys that are conducted in there. Those populations are looking relatively stable to us. Really don't have any changes to recommend in the hunting season structure, so we're recommending status quo for the most part. A little bit of shift from the antlerless general season to special permits in the Columbia Basin Palouse. And that was the master hunter shift, which I'll get to in a little bit more detail in a second. Douglas County, those are typically ground surveys. They're standardized, repeatable ground surveys that we do every year. Douglas is a fairly high turnover county. A lot of open country, not a lot of security cover. It's a 3-point minimum season for mule deer, and we harvest an awful lot of the 3-point legal animals that don't have various refuge. But it's working, it's stable. We're able to continue to provide that opportunity year after year, and so we're continuing to recommend status quo there. In the Klickitat, that's some aerial survey work that we conduct every year. That's looking pretty good. We made quite a number of changes in the Klickitat country in the last 3-year package, and we're still watching how that performs, and it's performing the way we'd like to see it, with some increases and some better opportunity. We do feel like we can add a little bit of youth opportunity down in the Klickitat country. Central Cascades and North Half, again, we're relying mostly on harvest data for those populations and also recommending status quo for those populations. For, in the interest of time and brevity, I don't have a table for black-tailed deer. Most of the black-tailed deer in western Washington, we're relying on harvest data to do that monitoring. We have some routine every year high traffic check stations that we use. They're the kind of places that aren't necessarily representative of all western Washington, because they're places that have a very high rate of harvest, high turnover in the population. But as far as black-tailed deer are in western Washington, we're not seeing any red flags or any problems in the harvest data that we monitor. We do occasional aerial flights in select GMUs just as a backup monitoring. So coupling check station work with harvest data monitoring and a very small bit of aerial surveys where they're workable in western Washington. Not recommending any changes for black-tailed deer in western Washington either, so that's a status quo as well. So just sort of getting down into a few of the details here. I mentioned before that we were considering some changes to the seasons with hunters with disabilities, youth, and seniors. We've backed away from that. We're recommending status quo now. We're also backed away from limiting or reducing the late archery, which had an antlerless opportunity component in 105 and 108. Recommending status quo for that in terms of time period and which animals are legal. We are proposing to eliminate the master hunter white-tailed deer antlerless hunts in GMUs 130 through 142. doesn't seem to be consistent with the Master Hunter objective. As we see it, Master Hunter program is starting to evolve and shift in the last few years, and didn't see that that particular season was consistent with the Master Hunter objectives. The late archery, the late muzzle loader, and the special permits that we have in there will be meeting the antlerless removal needs that we have in 130 through 142. As I mentioned in the first whitetail deer table, we're also proposing some additional antlerless opportunity for hunters with disabilities, youth, and seniors in deer areas that circle Spokane. So the Spokane North, Spokane South, and Spokane West deer areas, where we have an awful lot of wild land, urban interface, damage and nuisance issues with white-tailed deer. We're trying to provide as much opportunity as we can. In your package, this appears as a recommended adjustment. That's because Region 1 had always intended that to be an opportunity for hunters with disabilities, youth, and seniors, but when we put the 101 together, or the 102, excuse me, together, we put that in the wrong place, and so we fixed that as the recommended adjustment. So that was always the intention from Region 1 staff, is to have that as a youth senior disabled opportunity. We also have a proposed shift on late archery dates, and what we're trying to do there is to give a consistent start date and stop date for late archery that also gets us away from an overlap with some modern firearm special permit seasons. And so the intent here is to give folks something that's a little bit more predictable, and at least in 2013 and 2014, rather than using the old calendar shifting process that we were using before, in 2013 and 2014, they'll see a few more days of hunting using this new system rather than the old system. On special permits for deer, we're proposing an increase in some of the quality whitetail deer opportunities in Spokane, Lincoln, and Whitman counties. We're also recommending a shift of some of the second deer antlerless opportunity back over to the standard antlerless category. Reason for that is, as the new license structures came to pass September 1, we received an awful lot of input from the public, folks concerned about the additional cost to second deer permits. Those went up a good little bit, and those folks that still wanted to have an antlerless hunting opportunity but weren't too crazy about the new and higher price, we shifted some of that opportunity back over to the antlerless category. And so we didn't shift it all over. We took a proportion, trying to give folks choices and a little bit of each possibility. So antlerless wouldn't give them the opportunity for that number two, but they'd at least have the opportunity to apply for an antlerless deer. Now I have some floor amendments for you, mostly just cleanup and fixing. When we go through, especially in a three-year package process, and especially when we're repealing or proposing to repeal entire WACs and then create entire new WACs, as you can see, there are an awful lot of lines here that we're shifting and moving around. If this was computer code and people were writing lines of code for this, we'd have a team of 20 people trying to quality check and debug this. So we do miss a few things from time to time. And so on the special permits, on this agenda item, if you look at page 18, and these should all be hard copies in your packets as well, but on page 18, on the Sinlihican modern firearm hunt that runs from November 1 to 20, we're proposing to change that from 5 permits to 10 permits, and on the Pogue special permit hunt, also in the quality category, same time period, proposing to bump that from 15 up to 20. On page 20, under the bucks category, and if I get too confusing here, just stop me and I will back up. On page 20, under the bucks category, on the Sinlahican hunt, again, modern firearm, November 1 to 20 time period, for any white-tailed deer bucks, that number of permits should bump up from 15 to 20. And all of those changes are because our post-hunt surveys have indicated that we can restore those back to 2011 levels. Initially, expectation was those buck ratios were going to be going down a little bit, and so we were proposing to reduce that special permit opportunity a little bit. Didn't come to pass when we had the surveys flown, and so felt comfortable restoring those back to last year's levels. And then one more change that...
Before you get into that, Commissioner, yes. Perry mm-hmm. has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jerry, you said stop you if you were confused.
Yes, please.
I'm on page 20 under bucks, under Sinlahican, and it says 50 permits. And there is no change indicated. Am I missing something?
No, sir. I probably made a mistake. Let's try the Pogue hunt. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down.
Okay.
I think we meant to say the Pogue hunt there.
And that's 15 to 20?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
My mistake. Thank you. Okay. And just as Commissioner Perry just did, one of the folks in the audience this afternoon also found an error for us, and it's on page 23. It's under the second deer category. It's the Lakeview hunt, and it's a January 1 to 30 hunt, and we forgot to change that to 2013. So it should be a 2013 hunt, not a 2012 hunt. And if everybody's still with me on page 32, this is a master hunter hunt. It's the Miller hunt, and that has that same year problem as well. It's a January 1 to 20 hunt, and it should say 2013, not 2012. And then the last one for deer, I think, I hope, is also on page 32. And it's in the Hunter Education Instructor Incentive Permits. This was a hunt that we've had for several years. When we created the new WAC, somehow this hunt dropped off the table. Still haven't figured out why. But it's a hunt in Region 2. All of the language in the dates column, you don't really have to worry about that on the screen because it's the exact boilerplate language that's in that table already. It's an any white-tailed deer hunt, and it's in GMUs 204 through 215, and there are two permits on that hunt. And if you take a look at last year's pamphlet, you'll see that hunt in there. It's not a new thing. It just somehow got dropped out of the word processing effort. And with with that, I'll take any questions you might have.
Questions. Commissioner Perry.
On all the stuff you went through,
pardon me. Thank you. On all this stuff you went through, it's a list of permits for each unit and so forth. Do you have any idea what the success rate is relative to the number of permits issued?
It's really going to depend on several things. Which weapon we're talking about, where the hunt is taking place, and what time in the calendar the hunt is taking place. In general, we see success rates for special permits running in the neighborhood of 30 to 35 to 50%, again depending on the location and the whether it's a prime time buck hunt or a general season antlerless hunt or a late season antlerless hunt. But we do have some special permit hunts that run very high success rates, can run as high as 75, 80, 90%.
Thank you. That's what I just wanted, a rough estimate, and that's good. Thank you.
Director Anderson.
I just wanted to talk for a moment about some of the terms we're using as it relates to our rulemaking that some of you may be familiar with and others may not. So we're using this term floor amendment, and you've seen that in some previous presentations. So as you know, we file what we call a CR 101 that is a general announcement that we intend to open up certain WACs. That's followed by the filing of what we call a CR 102, which has the specific changes that are being contemplated. We filed a supplemental CR 102. So now we're at the point from the in terms of the administrative rules process where if there are any changes made to the CR 102 that's in your package, they'll be done at the April meeting. So when we have some of the things that we've presented today, we have included a department recommendation, others have not. So these floor amendments that we're talking about should be considered as floor amendments that the department is recommending to the commission. We want to make sure that we daylight these here in this public forum so that if there are before public comments or because the public would not have been aware of these floor amendments that we're proposing to the 102, which is the written document that they have in front of them. Obviously, we're not asking for any action today. We want you to be aware of the additions or what we're calling floor amendments so that when you consider your action in April on these items, you will have already been made aware of these proposed changes in our recommendations or addition to our recommendations. You would have had the public would have had an opportunity to see them. But that's the context in which we're calling floor amendments in today's presentations.
Thank you for that clarification. Any further questions? Doesn't look like it. Thanks, Jerry. Great job. We do have several people who have signed up to testify. So we'll open up the hearing and call first Stan Hansen and Kelly Singer. Would you both come forward? Okay, Mr. Hansen, you have 3 minutes.
Chairman, commissioners, I'm a farmer and rancher from Grant County here. Born and raised here, hunted deer.
Could you speak into the microphone?
I hunted deer about 55 years. I'm like a wildlife biologist myself. I want to know why we don't have any doe permits in Grant County, except for Lakeview. I can go out on a late season hunt, and I can count 150 deer plus, and maybe see 5 bucks after rifle season. The ratio screwed up. Let's get some more doe permits out here, particularly the youth, 16 and under. Get to see these young kids out here hunting. We're losing hunters nationwide, statewide. Let's let these kids shoot some deer. We got too many deer. Let's get them out here. Crop damage, corn and alfalfa and the hay bales and whatnot, cornfields. There's some cornfields in our area. I got one neighbor that's, I counted over 150 deer in one field after rifle season. If you configure a deer comparable size of a goat would be like 10 pounds of grain a day. If each deer ate 10 pounds of grain a day, and say you just had 100 deer, times 100 days, think the dollar figure that that farmer has lost. In 100 days, he's lost over $10,000. This is out of whack. We need to do something about this. Get the youth out here. Let's get them, get some of these deer out here. CRP program. I've never heard anything about it. I'm a farmer and rancher. I've had CRP programs. I've taken government money. I've taken your money. If you got a CRP program, why not have that public should be on that property? You, as taxpayers, paid for that program. The public can't hunt on those lands. Open it up. If you got take money from the government, you should have that property open to the public. Something talked about these, like Buck Run here down Wilson Creek, about increased opportunity. False. Totally false. When that program started, we as several other hunters, we tried to stop this. We filled an auditorium here, filled up, overflowed with people. You and the commissioners went ahead and with it. It knocked it down our throat, kind of like Obamacare is doing to us, to the nation right now. Same type of thing. People don't want it. It's bad publicity for you, the game department, for Buck Run. It's not a quality hunt. It's a private hunt. It's a paid-for hunt. You buy a deer. One day you shoot a deer. That's not a quality hunt. It hasn't done anything for the general population. You got a township, 36 sections, that I'm locked out of, that most people are locked out of unless you go to the landowner. It's not right.
Thank you. Thank you. Your testimony.
One other thing. You talk about quality.
I'm sorry. Your time is up.
Okay.
Okay, Mike Estes, will you come forward, please? Mr. Singer?
Yeah, again, thank you, Madam Chairman, or Madam Chair, and the Commission. I'm currently representing a nonprofit, Northwest Hunting and Fishing Addicts. It's a 501c3. We, in August of last year, put a petition through to move the late archery general season in the Northeast from December back to September. One of the reasons is there's a lot of youth today that want to hunt with family members that are archery hunters, and you're giving them basically 6 days in the late season when it's the most miserably cold weather that they can't even draw their bows back. It, you know, we're supposed to try to promote our youth as much as possible, but this hunt is actually discouraging our youth from wanting to archery hunt. We're also trying to promote disabled hunters. Same thing. You know, they're already disabled, but they have to sit in the worst weather. In the 117 and 121 units, this is now a four-point minimum. It's difficult enough to get an opportunity at a buck, so it's that much harder now. We have some biological reasons for changing the season for this antlerless from December to September, is to actually harvest does before the breeding season and balance our buck-to-doe ratios that have been out of whack in the Northeast for years. Bucks, I mean, I use this analogy quite often. A rancher doesn't let his bull breed the cows before they take them to sale or to the butcher. Why are we doing it with our whitetails in the Northeast? The September hunt, you have good opportunity to be able to pick out does that don't have fawns with them, first year does, or does that didn't breed. So I'm concerned that we petitioned for this last year and it again hasn't went through, and I'm being told that there's nothing that can be done this year either. So again, we're another year out of trying to get kids back into the field when the time is right. Another typo, Northeast, or the units 117 and 121 got moved to a four-point minimum unit area. You know, I can accept that, whatever. But you have a late quality buck hunt in for 5 days for five hunters to continue to hunt for a buck for modern rifle. The current regulations show that as a any whitetail hunt. The general season's a 4-point, the archery's a 4-point, but these five hunters get to go out and shoot any whitetail buck they see. It was supposed to be a quality hunt, so I think there might have been a typo on that. And also, we would appreciate the opportunity as archers and muzzleloader hunters to open up those units as well for all hunting methods. Thank you.
Thank you. Don Dashiell, would you come forward? Hey, Mr. Estes.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, I need to mention to you, you may not notice, but during lunch I took off my Master Hunter Advisory Group hat, and I'm speaking as an individual now. I want to oppose the elimination of the general season Master Hunter late whitetail antlerless hunt and GMUs 130 to 142, and also the general season elk hunt. I prepared a letter for you, and hopefully it's been distributed. I won't waste your time covering that now. Give you a different perspective on the late season antlerless whitetail hunt. Dr. Nelson on his slide said it's not consistent with Master Hunter objectives, and I disagree. This morning I read to you from the original pamphlet that's mentioned two things: improving landowner sportsman's relations and also expanding hunting opportunities and or hunter access to private lands. That's a December hunt. It lasts about a week. In an area, the slides that Dr. Nelson showed that increased opportunity for deer areas around Spokane. He specifically mentioned Colfax, and that's in GMU 139. I'll tell you a personal story. It's kind of anecdotal because it is personal, but there are several master hunters who participate in that hunt. We forego our opportunity to hunt during the antlered season. I think we're pretty skilled hunters. We have access to properties. I have no doubt that I can fill a deer tag when I need to fill a deer tag. We forego our opportunity at antlered deer to participate in that hunt just to go in and do public relations work. Each year we choose different properties, different landowners, knock on doors, no preparation, to see if we can get access to hunt. And we do that. It's after the general season. It's in December. So we get a chance to go in and hear all the horror stories and mend fences or do damage repair or work our magic or whatever. But we're the eyes and the ears of the department and trying to further and improve the reputation of hunters. And we hear all the horror stories about people coming out there, trespassing, taking long-range shots, wounding animals, etc. And we try to explain that that's not the way good ethical hunters perform, and we're welcome back. And sometimes we take a deer and sometimes we don't. In talking to Region 1 staff, the biologists, Kevin Robinette and Howard Ferguson, Mike Atomian, all of them say there's no biological need to change the hunt. There's plenty of deer in that area. That's a central part of Region 1, farmlands. The department intends to increase permit opportunities down there. I would suggest that that's short-sighted, selling a few more $6 permits in lieu of this. And not a lot of master hunters participate in this hunt. There's no significance to the herd population. So I'd urge you to consider an alternative to what's been recommended. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Mr. Dashiell.
Thanks again for having a nice long meeting today and keeping all those boys under control up there. So I'd just like to follow up what Kelly was talking about. I think when the 4-point restriction in that area was put into effect, probably there was a little oversight there on, you know, limiting the youth and disabled. I'd like to see an avenue at some time during this 5-year span to give them that opportunity. I think you could open, as he said, that back to an early archery and give them all the opportunity to all of them. I don't think you would kill too many does. I mean, but having the opportunity is probably more important than killing the deer. And I'd support him on, for the department's sake, on a in that area that has five special quality hunts, it's big enough that you could have archery, muzzle loader, who knows who will get drawn. They could all be modern firearm, but they could hunt that area at their choice, not interfere with each other, and maybe get you a few more permit applications. Just our little, the drainage where I live, I would say we got eight does and five or six bucks in the, you know, with the point restriction there. And I compare that to about 10 or 12 years ago when I knew the same area and knew, I mean, there was also this year one illegal trespass, you know, two-point buck that was taken, but the people that did that didn't care. I don't think they were reading the book. But 10 or 12 years ago, that same area, I tried to keep track, and there were 18 bucks and one doe taken, which could have been the beginning of the trend to this out-of-whack buck-doe ratio. So I think we can take the four-point restriction, but I think we can still offer the youth the does in the areas where we have a healthy herd like we do there, and still meet the goals.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Carpenter?
What's his first name?
Don? Mr. Dashiell?
Yes.
Don?
I just have a real basic question, because one of the points you brought up is pretty important to all of us on the commission. That's youth activities. If that were to be done, how would you promote that? How would you track it? How would you evaluate it? You got any thoughts on how that could work on behalf of the youngsters? Better than the normal course of doing things?
I haven't given much thought, but I think the outfits that promote the youth hunts, like the the nonprofits that are out exposing that to the youth and to the handicapped, are probably the best. You know, whether it's, I don't know the best way to do that, but I know the kids that showed up there this year were excited, and you know, it was only the limit on it was the short youth season. Maybe if that was a little longer, we'd get a little more exposure to the youth, because they're pretty much committed to certain days. I don't know how many days it was, but the ones that were able to get there and hunt were successful. Kelly would have to tell you whether it was 5 out of 6 or whatever. We didn't have 30 or 40 youth running around there. We had a limited number. And if they all didn't get harvest one, they all saw deer. You know, and I think, but there was no archery opportunity mixed in that too. And we, you know, you did talk about youth archery needing a good opportunity too, aside from being able to freeze your tail off in December.
Thank you. Okay, that ends the public input for that item. And the hearing is closed.